Peter picked the peckle.
Okay. Always the professional.
The consummate.
Boobash. Oh, Jesus.
Wind, water,
hot, go, planet!
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet!
Captain Planet!
You are listening to Gaia's Gang. We're on episode 4. It's been a little bit since we've been around. We apologize for that. We'll get more into those apologies a little bit later. I'm Ariel Van Cleve, joined as always by...
Andrew McCardell.
And...
Emily Smith.
Excellent. And why don't we start, Andrew, with what's the purpose of this podcast again?
Oh, yeah. So we are rewatching episodes of Captain Planet, reminiscing about the days of our youths and re-raising the issues that are brought up in these episodes of
Excellent.
This glorious cartoon.
That's right. That's right. We're doing all of those things. Emily couldn't be more excited. All right. And then do you want to do... What's next? Should we do a recap, or should we? What's the structure we should follow, Andrew?
Yeah. Let's recap. It's been a while since we discussed the third episode of Captain Planet, which we're gonna do a quick recap. This is gonna be a little bit less electrifying, I think, than they typically are, which is very electrifying. But this episode, episode 3, Beast of the Temple, really drove us a little bit nuts, and it's been a few months since I've seen it, so here we go.
What was it about? Yeah.
So the Planeteers travel to Thailand, where a dragon beast is terrorizing a village.
That's right.
We learn right out of the gate that Guy, who is the Planeteer from Asia, miraculously knows a young man who lives in the village that is being terrorized in Thailand. So lovely.
Mm-hmm.
They get to Thailand. They discover the beast is actually a strip mining machine in the shape of a dragon that is being run by Hoggish Greedley and his Beavisy sidekick. They're trying to scare villagers out of the village so he can bring in more of these machines, strip more rubies. They're based out of a temple. It sucked. The episode was really annoying. The stakes seemed really low. It was irritating for a number of reasons. Wheeler was a dipshit a few times. They summoned Captain Planet twice. I think it was the first time that they had done that.
Right.
And aside from Guy being an absolute superstar in the episode, it was really just not all that
captivating. Just kind of a dud.
Yeah.
Just kind of a dud.
So they beat Hoggish Greedley again.
I don't remember anything about it, so. Except the dragon. I kind of remember the dragon.
Oh. And there was an issue with the dragon. So one of our dear listeners was saying that there was a concern.
Yeah, so this gets us to our listener questions and comments segment. And this is a good friend of ours, Sean, which I feel like I just want to say that I think I deserve a lot of credit for remembering months after the fact that Sean had texted me back when we released the third episode with some very good dragon feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And we called our episode of the podcast A Brief History of Dragons. And the reason for that was that at some point when we were recording, Emily speculated that maybe this dragon machine was a dinosaur,
right,
or was it a dragon? And she said that she wasn't familiar with the history of dragons. Sean, much more familiar with the history of dragons. So thank you, Sean. He says, can we please discuss dragon mythology for a moment?
Mm.
Eastern dragon mythology almost always sees dragons as wise and ancient protectors. They typically live in forests or mountains and have more serpentine features and rarely wings. This is in contrast to Western dragon mythology, where dragons are typically more evil and have physical characteristics resembling dinosaurs with wings. The presence of a dragon in a forest would not have scared a rural Thai villager. And my quick confirmatory Googling of this is that, yeah, he's basically right.
Hmm.
So this dragon, I don't think it had wings, but it was closer to like a Targaryen dragon or Smaug from like The Hobbit than it was to the sort of classical like Eastern dragon, which is really just like a serpentine body.
Right.
No wings, much longer, snake-like, and sort of wise or even lucky. Think also of Falcor the Luck Dragon from The NeverEnding Story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've heard of that one.
He would be closer to what you might imagine Eastern tradition dragon.
Maybe what was terrifying about this was that it wasn't like the right kind of dragon.
That could be.
Thank you, Sean, for that detailed information. We have another question, concern, comment, though, I think, don't we, Emily?
We do. We have Cousin Danielle on it again. she sent a message apparently seconding a point that I had made, which I, of course, don't remember at this point. But at any rate, she says the point about Gaia giving zero guidance before a mission is basically a reflection of what day-to-day adulting is like for a young millennial. It spoke to me on a spiritual level. Us old millennials here in the studio are...
Yeah, where do we stand on the word adulting? Okay with it?
Facetiously, I'm okay with it, I would say. I don't think I've ever used it in like a real specific, meaningful context where I was like, oh, adulting's like if I say adulting's hard, that I'm saying it is like making like a self-deprecating sort of thing.
Yeah. It came up as an answer, I don't remember what day, but recently in New York Times crossword. Adulting. And no thanks.
Is it not a word, like word of the year? When's it going to be the word of the year? What's that going to take?
That's true.
Is it in the dictionary yet?
I don't think so. Dumpster fire was last year. So.
That's right. Well,
let's tweet at Merriam-Webster. That's a pretty solid Twitter account. I think I've mentioned it on this podcast before. Who knows? It's been months. Merriam-Webster, funny Twitter account. We can ask them.
I'll look into it.
As part of that little segment right there, I think we should start having two different segments. One, Cousin Danielle's Corner, and the other is what does Emily remember?
In this case, it's basically just that there was a dragon.
Like, I think during the recap section, we could maybe just employ that as like, what does Emily remember? And then we'll have Emily do the recap.
We can be, yeah.
I can start.
I like this. Just thinking out loud, she could just give like three facts.
Uh-huh.
Plot points that she remembers from the previous
episode.
She could
try real hard to give three plot points. Yeah.
All right.
They could be as specific or as general.
Yeah. I think next episode we'll try that out.
This whole time I've been struggling. Like, I must have given some facts about like ruby mining. But I didn't. Actually, I think it was about aluminum because that has.
Yes, it was about aluminum.
It was about aluminum because it can be recycled infinitely.
Yes. Yes.
And so now I'm like, anyways.
Yep. What does Emily remember?
We're imparting lasting wisdom upon our eager listeners, but we ourselves have no idea what we say from episode to episode.
Well, that's
thank
because
God it's recorded.
It's been in memoriam. It's been a few months because I don't know. It's summer in Seattle, and
yeah, you have to go outside.
Yeah, you have to soak up
that.
You have to go outside. You have to go outside. You can't stay in. No, no, no.
Even
it's
when
impossible.
There's smoke, just.
Even then, you're just
air.
Like, got to deal with it because it's summer. You have to be outside.
Exactly.
Vox had a piece a couple weeks ago when the smoke was at its worst that walking around, I don't know if you had to be outside all day. Anyway, they said being outside in Seattle was like smoking 7 cigarettes a day.
There's an app that does the equivalent every day, and I kept looking it up. I think the most was 8 and 8 and a quarter was the most that we had.
How many cigarettes are in a pack?
20.
Okay. That's a lot then. Half pack of cigarettes.
But here's the worst part. Like, you don't get all the good stuff from cigarettes. And by good stuff, I mean, like, you know, the reason why people smoke cigarettes is because they make you feel good.
Yeah.
So you don't get any of that. You just get all, like, the harmful effects. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
False equivalency, I say.
It's misleading.
But, you know, wildfire is still on topic with environmental issues, so it's good.
Yeah. That's true.
Forest management, that could be a whole other. Maybe we'll get into that at some point with Captain Planet.
We're about to talk about rainforests.
We are.
Yeah, so that was our sorry, not sorry. We took the summer off a little bit.
Yeah, we did some traveling. We were very busy. We had to be outside. So why don't we get into the actual episode that we just watched, episode 4, Scumlord. And this one starts out a little weird, as always, with we're in search of a shaman that Mati wants to introduce everybody to, and Classic Wheeler is just being a real fucking jackass about it.
Yeah, just a bull in a china shop, except he's in a rainforest.
Yeah.
It's almost impressive.
He was being a jerk. Mati.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Mati was. I was gonna make the cheat sheet, but then I thought I had it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Mati is trying to explain traditional wisdom.
Yeah.
to the group and why it's important, kind of how it works. Or we're looking for the shaman. I think Wheeler at some point starts calling him Salmon. I mean, he's just being a real jerk.
Yeah, he's 0%
disrespectful.
Yes, and he's 0% interested, as what you would expect from Wheeler. And then he gets bitten by fire ants, which is his just desserts. But then Matisse saves him with the like salve that he creates on the spot, mm-hmm. thanks to wisdom from the shaman. And then Wheeler's like, oh, that's right, I'm the jackass. Like, as soon as it stops hurting.
Yeah, true to form.
Your point about ants reminds me of my first fun fact about the Amazon rainforest, which mm-hmm. is that there are an estimated 2.5 million insect species.
What?
In the Amazon rainforest.
No, yes. Seriously?
Yes, seriously.
Hard pass.
I know, if there was ever a statistic I've heard to keep me away from a place, that's it. Okay, so 2.5 million different insect species,
yes.
in the Amazon rainforest, yes. alone.
I will say the Amazon is gorgeous.
We were at an eco lodge. This was one of those trips that we agreed to. And then, you know, like we took a little airplane and landed in the jungle. And then we took a boat. And as we keep driving the boat, I'm like, what did we agree to? This was a bad idea. And then we got off the boat and then we started hiking. And then there was a wild boar stampede. And I really was terrified. And anyways, I never would have done it had I actually thought carefully about the 2.5 million insects
yeah.
there. Species, or, not just in, I mean,
no, the species.
Species.
That's what makes it more terrifying, because yeah. it's not like there's just one of them. There's going to be a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And wild boars. Yeah, sounds like a great place that I'm never
That's
going
true.
To see.
I prefer my wild boars like cured and eaten in Italy. As a general rule of thumb. That's going to get
Yeah. Cool.
Penis,
We'll just chop that part out.
This like conservationist nostalgia podcast where we're talking about smoking hogs.
Sorry.
I prefer my boar on a spit.
I was going to say, not to pivot away from this amazing topic, but I also saw a piece recently, and this was probably 538 or Vox again, I don't remember,
mm-hmm.
but and it talked about like if you can chart out like the weight of all different types of life forms on the planet, the weight of insects is so hilariously vaster than like human or carbon, like
really
like human and animal life. Yeah. It's pretty gross to think about.
It's
they're everywhere and they're heavy.
And there's a movement towards this. I mean, this is a sustainable form of protein.
Right.
That's the thing that's happening.
Right.
I can personally say I don't enjoy the cricket, but.
Yeah, I have yet to eat on purpose any insect. Because, you know, things just come in your mouth. Like,
that's
as,
true.
That's yeah, the thing, you know, they fly and what are you going to
do? I've had some ants, some crickets.
Yeah.
Some grub worms. No, I don't enjoy any of them.
They were more
I'm not quite as worldly as the both of you.
Just eating bugs.
So Wheeler's being a jackass. They finally meet the shaman and they have a little chit chat quickly. But then the shaman gets freaked out because Gaia appears in the sky suddenly out of nowhere. And there's an eco emergency. And my favorite thing was the shaman was like, what's this magic? No one knows.
we don't know either, man. Speaking for all of us. Yeah, they basically get to say hello to him for about 5 seconds.
Yeah, they spend all this time tracking him down, and they're like, oh, wait, there he is with his hawk or something. And then they see him for 5 seconds and then say, oh, yeah, Gaia's going to make us go work or whatever. So then they go back to Hope Island, and she explains with her little synergy screen that there's rat rot that's being put into the water supply. An evil illness is what she calls it, called rat rot. And it's, what's his face? What's the...
Verminous scum is back. Thank goodness.
That's
AKA
right.
AKA the scum lord.
That's right. AKA Jeff Goldblum's voice.
Jeff Goldblum.
Just really knocking it out of the park. So rat rot turns people into rats, but not just turning them into rats that are like confused about being rats. Instead, they are rats who are like hellbent on helping Verminous Scum with his yep. plans. So it's like they go into a trance.
Yeah,
and
seems zombie-ish.
Infected. Yeah. So their complete self is gone, and it's just them as a rat.
Yeah, he's like poisoning the well in what was either maybe like an urban slum or something somewhere, or like a village. It was a little bit hard to tell, but he's
poisoning a well somewhere in South America.
Yeah, and a woman drinks from it and is converted into a rat, and she follows him into a sewer. So we see like what happens and that they're obedient to him.
Yeah.
Andrew was arguing with me because he's referring to it as poison. I thought it was an infectious disease, and I thought this was a good, just a good side note about pandemic preparedness. It's like bioterror happening here.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm confused about the trance part of it. Like, it does a lot. Like, this thing does a lot, and I know I get it. Okay, it's a cartoon, but I'm gonna do a deep dive into this.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Because, like, not. What happens with the person's actual personality if there's a possibility of a cure? Does it just get like sidelined? Because this is your brain that it's dealing with as well.
It does appear to be affecting the central nervous system.
I think that's a good point.
Right, we'll get to that later, but like I just had some questions about, well, what happens when you are part of this, then they're trying to find this cure, but then you're still living inside. Are you aware of what you're doing in any way, shape or form, or no?
Like imprisoned in your own brain.
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys are more of the zombie experts than me.
I think not. I think when you're sick like that, you're just mindlessly following scum. And then when you're healed, your self returns.
So you've been like in a trance, basically. Yeah. Of just like, oh, okay, now I'm back. And I don't know where, I don't know what I did. I can't be held responsible for dumping more rat rot into various places.
And when we were debating the nature of this thing, like, they very clearly described this as a disease, as a sickness.
Right. More germs.
I just thought that was germs even. I thought that was weird because it seems pretty clearly something that scum has manufactured so that it seemed more like a mutation.
It's
a bio threat.
I think you're right. I think it was bioterrorism as well.
Initially, I'm thinking cholera, right? Because it's in a well, and this is the whole story of the cholera, really. There become more complications to diagnosing the transmission pathways. I guess we'll get to that.
So, okay, so they're in South America, and he's trying to turn everybody into rats. And the group is trying, the Planeteers have gone to try to figure out a way to stop him from doing that. They're in their little jet, and Mati sees there's a kid down, like, below that he sees, and he uses his heart power to track this kid.
This is real weird. So first, I think Mati is napping, as we all would on a long trip,
of course,
It looks like he's got his eyes closed, peaceful expression on his face, very chill Mati. Mm-hmm. Seems to be asleep on the, what is it, the Geojet?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Ecojet,
geo something,
yeah, whatever. He's asleep, and the monkey who's on his shoulder usually, like, tugs on his arm as though to call his attention to the fact that there's this young boy down there who's sick. And then Mati goes, oh, heart.
Right.
And it's like, there's a young man who's sick down there. I was like, does the monkey have heart power? Was it just looking out the window of the Geo cruiser?
He has, like, super good eyes?
I don't know.
I missed this whole part.
I was very intrigued. This just gets to my ongoing thing, like, what's going on with these powers?
Well, exactly. And no one is asking any questions or being concerned at all. They don't use them at the right times, like, which is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But the heart one, I'm confused. And
it's like his power.
And clearly that kid was sick anyway because he looked like a rat.
Yeah. And his power is, like, a little bit more mystic than the others. The others have these, like,
elemental. Did the kid have rat rot?
Yeah. Like, had like a little like rat face, little rat body.
I got
body.
Excited like maybe there was a cholera case and I just missed it.
But I feel like his monkey, it was behaving like it was like a wizard's familiar, you know, or something. Like, which also are typically.
It's behaving like a wizard's familiar, you know. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, I should have seen that coming.
Oh, wait, like, familiar, this will be another segment.
Is like
what
an
are
animal,
you talking about?
An animal companion to like a magic user, just in fiction, that usually has some sort of magical properties or assists, is linked somehow to the magic
user.
I
see. This makes sense. Okay.
This isn't a perfect, maybe the most common, like Harry Potter, freaking owl. Like all of the kids at Hogwarts had some sort of animal, even if it was Ron's dumb rat.
Right. They aren't necessarily just like an assistant,
I
but
see.
They're more like they there's some they're linked
Okay.
They're linked.
Anyway, I'm starting to wonder if this monkey has like some ability.
I'm starting to wonder. I think that's
a fair
question.
We're going to watch that closely. That narrative arc that they're clearly setting up.
It's never going to come up again. Like, just guaranteed. So I wondered about that, too, because it just seemed odd. And then they were tracking this kid through the heart power, which, I mean, I guess I just didn't realize that he was so... That's a pretty, like, legit power. Mm-hmm. If he can just track people over the place. And also getting everybody's mind, like, from the first episode. Like, I can feel him. Like, that's fucking creepy,
too.
He's
Professor X.
Yeah, he is Professor X. That's very true. I wrote rat hair here.
Is it about his beard? No.
Why did I write that?
It's because Scum is sampling his own product.
Oh, that's right.
And he's like, that's perfect. That'll put rat or hair on your chest. Rat hair,
that's
some
right.
nasty-ass thing like that.
He's so gross.
I more was wondering, had the Scum Lord always had a goatee kind of thing?
Yeah.
Mm. But he covers his face a lot.
Yeah, because he tries to appear as though he's normal, even though he has a rat tail. Oh. A very long rat tail.
Yeah, it's hard to get that. You need special pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a big hole in the butt of his tracksuit.
Yeah, for being somebody who's so proud of their ratness, like, why does he cover his face so much?
Mm. I think it's so he can go around in secret. But I guess it's true. He doesn't. Yeah.
There's no secret. That rat tail is...
Maybe.
Hard to hide.
Maybe.
Hard to hide.
And, I mean, I guess we'll just have to see as we plumb the depths of Verminous Scum, but maybe he's grappling with...
His sense of identity?
Yeah,
that's true. Maybe
identity,
he has some internalized ratophobia.
I mean, there is a reason why he's trying to turn everybody into rats. He wants everybody to be a rat so that he can feel maybe more comfortable with himself.
Yep. That's true.
Mm. There's a lot to dig in with here, to tell you the truth.
That's what he was doing with his acid rain cloud. That's what he's doing here.
Yeah, he's just like, I want you guys to be like me so I don't feel so lost and alone.
Yeah, his first plot was, I'm going to ruin the world so that everybody shares a ruined world. And then this episode is, I'm going to make everybody like me and also be my slaves.
Mm. All right. So here's the other problem. So once they follow this kid with the heart power... Then Wheeler decides to do the most brazen approach to handling the crisis he could possibly think of. It was Kwame who did it, which was weird of Kwame to do. He's like, let's just solve it. Earth. And then like ripped up the earth and then the rat brew fell everywhere. And then to no avail. Like then the kids were in trouble. Immediately.
Yeah. So he like destroys the operation. And then the legions of rats serving Verminous Scum chase the Planeteers out. And they're all doing that with the thriller claws. They've got like hand, like the Thriller hands from the Michael Jackson video as they go chasing them.
Like, this is weird. This is a weird, like, you know.
Everyone loves Thriller.
I don't know if Emily saw that part. Did you see that part?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I was watching it. Did I notice? No.
But yes, they were all chasing out with the Thriller claws. And then they were like, oh, shit, maybe we should have thought about this before we did anything. But it's too late now. So I guess Captain Planet, they summon him immediately. Mm-hmm. And then he shows up. It doesn't really do anything.
I think he like cleans up the operation. Verminous Scum runs away and then pops back up after the Planeteers are patting each other on the back with Planet. And Verminous Scum shoots him with rat rot.
That's right. Sprays him down.
Finally, it's not just like somebody carrying around a container of toxic waste for no reason at all. He's got the rat rot. We know why he's got it.
Right.
And that seems to have similar effects on Captain Planet, who has to go back into the rings, give the kids back their powers. And you're sort of told that they can't rely on him for a while.
Right, because he has to, like, go back and regenerate, which is not consistent.
Just say it's one line. Just say that. Yeah, because we don't know.
Right. I thought Captain Planet was going to fall out of the air. Like, when he...
Me too.
He was very weakly floating back up into the sky. I don't know where he lives. Mm-hmm. That's not clear to me. But at any rate, I literally thought he was going to... I was nervous during that part.
Well, I thought he was going to become a rat. Oh. Like, I was kind of like, that would be fucking badass if he became a rat.
I knew he wouldn't become a rat.
But then instead, no. He was just like, it's too much. I have to go away. But yet, like, in this situation, he goes away. The last time he got, like, some stuff on his chest for like his power source, they just had to wipe it away.
Yeah.
And then he was fine.
No, he needs sun, usually, I thought that.
Right.
Was,
yeah. Well, exactly. But why did he have to go away that time?
Or if he goes away, why isn't he instant? I mean, he's just this energy being made up of the elements.
Right.
They should be able to summon him right back right away.
Right. Like, does he get energy by going back into the rings and then he can come back out? Does he need a little bit of time? Do they
nap.
Don't know? Nobody knows.
Even Gaia needed a nap.
Gaia is...
She's kind of absent.
She's absent constantly.
Maybe she has a job. I was just in defense of working moms. I don't know.
She's just napping. I'm like, oh, disrupting my nap. Well, then, like... So he disappears, and then...
So then they, like, divide and conquer. So this is... Right. Maybe y'all can help me, because either I missed something, or this is, like, a pretty dumb plot point. So the Planeteers split up. Gi, Linka, and Wheeler are going to infiltrate the ongoing rat operation to try to disrupt the making of Rat Rod and its delivery.
Right.
And then Mati and Kwame are off to go look for the cure.
Right.
The implication being, I think, either that it just exists in the world or that Verminous Scum made a cure, which, why would he do that? He's not using it. Like, he's not trying to, like, hold the world hostage and say, you have to give me $1 billion or you don't give me the cure.
You did miss a plot point, because they're going to look for a cure, because this was the whole thing at the beginning about traditional wisdom. And I think part of the storyline of saving the rainforest for so long was that there are all of these unknown medical cures available in the biodiversity of the rainforest.
And spoiler, that comes around back at the end. So, all right, that makes sense. So for some reason, thought that they thought Scum had made cure. And I was like, that's really stupid.
So then they scooted out to go figure out, okay, how can we get this cure so we can solve this problem? And then the other three were like, well, we'll stick around here and just keep an eye on things and also, like, root out the problem. Mm-hmm. But then, as part of rooting out the problem... Wheeler, like, gets himself in trouble. He winds up falling into a vat of rat rot.
He gets snagged because he goes off half-cocked like he always does. Uh-huh. He tries to just, like, they find another operation, him and Lincoln Gi. He's like, I'm just going to go burn it down.
Right.
Because... And I think they're both, as they often have to be, like, they're saying, like, don't know.
Well, I think that Gi said, maybe we should have a plan. And he was basically saying, go fuck yourself. Yeah.
He gets caught. He gets dumped in a vat of rat rot.
Yeah.
And Linka tries to save him, and then she falls into the vat with him.
How?
Did he pull her in? I initially thought that Wheeler pulled her into the vat. Like,
I don't think that he...
A high school boy at a pool party.
No, I don't think he meant to do it, but then there was just, like, is it thick? Like, is it... not like, why is it so hard to get him out? Like,
very,
why can't he just
maybe.
Yeah, like, why can't he just climb out of it? Yeah. It wasn't that, it was like a wheel, not a wheelbarrow, but it was like a barrel full of stuff. So that, whatever. So then she gets pulled in, and then as part of that, there's splashing that's happening, and then it's getting onto Gi. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, okay, well, at least nobody swallowed it.
Right. And they're like, you didn't swallow any, did you?
Turns out, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, which left me with lots of questions. And
they turned into rats.
Yeah. They turned into rats, which is terrible. But then I'm like, so this isn't a waterborne disease where, I mean, most of them, you have to drink the water, or, you know, drink food made with the water, something like this.
Right.
These are most of the cases. And so then I was, you know, taking a short deep dive on the way over here. Like, what is this? Was this aerosolized? Is this like a Legionella kind of situation where little particles of the water got into the air and you consumed it? Or maybe like trachoma, you get it in your eyeballs and it gets in this way.
Well,
I
see, because with Gi, like, she only really got it like on her hand and maybe a little bit on her face, but she was only splashed. Like, the other two, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll reason with that a little bit more, because there might have been something that had gotten in by accident, or some like open area was affected. Fine.
Yeah.
But for Gi, it mostly just got in her shirt. Like,
Yeah.
The fuck.
Also, I mean, I'm not familiar with the disease that you both ingest and could get in through like your fingernails or something. I don't know. I have more research to do. Maybe some of our infectious disease doc listeners could write in and let me know if they can think of a model pathogen that matches rat rot, or maybe this was just a random transmission story. I don't know.
If that's the case, then it would have been way easier for him to like disseminate this. Then he was doing it, like, he needed to find a water supply to dump it into.
What?
Needed to find rivers to dump it into. Needed to do this to dump it into.
But splashing isn't that easy.
Well, I know, but he could have just like done like just a plane.
Spray plane.
Just like, yeah, and just like dumped it on everybody.
Which he kind of was doing with his scumocopter.
Right.
Which is a thing that exists.
That's one of the five notes I made about the plot. It just says scumocopter.
But he was dumping it. He was using the scumocopter like a wildfire fighting helicopter to drop the rat rot into a river.
Right, but always to dump it into a body of water. Mm-hmm. But he could just dump it, is what I'm getting at. Like,
it's fly over the city.
He's really misusing his time and efforts. If he wants to be this shitty rat who wants to like make everybody else a rat, then figure out the best way to do it and the easiest. Come on, man. That's all I'm getting at.
All
really
right.
Coming
so
after
what happens
his super
next,
villain,
guys? So
cred.
They're in the they get splashed.
Yeah, so they get splashed during. So Mati and Kwame have returned, say, "Oh, we couldn't find a cure. There is none." And it's while they're about to hoist up the other three to rescue them that they all turn right, and then they run off and follow Scum back
in
to the little plant.
Yeah,
and so.
Then they have to, like, lasso them, basically.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, Mati and Kwame are somehow able to just throw a rope with a lasso around it, perfectly trap the other three who have turned into rats, drag them up, and then fly away.
That's right.
Which prompts Scum to hop in a scumocopter and give chase. And the scumocopter has, like, jet engines
on either side
of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That doesn't seem... It's fast.
It should have... overtaken the Geo jet, like, and it probably should have destroyed, but instead, you know, you have to make it kind of like a whole back and forth type thing, and he had to get some one-liners in, of course. And then
Mati was piloting, and he kept saying that he'd only ever flown in the simulator before, so
they
seemed to be taking turns with the piloting of the Geo
and Kwame
cruiser.
Seemed very concerned.
Yeah, but this was a cool scene, because
which is the first time
it,
again, that everyone's been like, wait, this is kind of a weird thing that we're doing.
It was a very Star Wars inspired sequence,
because
at one point even it felt like the trench runs on the Death Star, or whenever the Millennium Falcon is flying inside something and turning on its side to get through a narrow passage, the Geo cruiser does that to sort of escape Scum. It's pretty awesome. But also Scum puts a tracking device on the Geo cruiser, and he calls it his like cheesy homing device.
Yeah, why?
Which it's just a like, it doesn't have to be cheesy.
No,
I wonder what was going to be cheesy about it. I thought there was going to be more to develop that point.
It's just the like, but that's like a more of a mouse thing than a rat thing, isn't it?
Yes, and I think that comes up because he's like, "Am I a mouse? Am I a rat? Am I a mouse?"
Right,
and
then he shoots a cheesy homing device tracker thing.
Yeah, why was he saying that?
I don't know. Do either of them really like cheese? That's
well, I
a
think
question.
I think he was saying it because like he was trying
he
to
was
decide
scared?
Like yeah, like how much of a badass was he going to be, a rat, or is he going to be like a little mouse?
I have a weird soft spot for Vermis Scum.
I know you do.
We need to explore that, see how it develops. It could just be that I really like Jeff Goldblum, but I have a bit of a soft spot for him.
I'm Googling, well, do mice really like cheese?
This episode is loose. I like it.
I mean, I think that with, you're the one who's also defending his self-esteem issues as well. Well, you're saying like, maybe there's more than just meets the eye. He's not just some bad guy. There's like some deep issues.
Yeah, he remains vastly more interesting than I guess the only other villain we've seen to this point, which was Hoggish Greedley twice, who
because I think for
blows.
Him he's just sort of a pillage, and that's his business. Like, he's just pure greed, which Greedley, of course. But then with Verminous, yes, I do think that there might be more to him, but maybe there's going to be like a come to Jesus talk at some point, like later on in seasons, where they just are like, what's the deal, man? Why are you such an evil person? And then it can just like break down and have an episode about feelings.
I'm into it. It'll feel like one of those like after school special.
Yeah. On a very special episode. A little
Enter the Pantheon with like the Saved by the Bell episode where what's her name? Is it Jessie? She's on Ritalin or something? Or on
what's her name? She's on caffeine pills.
Caffeine pills. I don't remember.
How dare you?
Well, this is like how you feel all the time when you're talking about wizard. What was it?
Sorry, I just had I had to. I felt like familiar? I laid a trap.
Familiar,
there.
Yes.
I apologize for setting a trap to then say, "Come on." Yes, Jessie was worried about algebra.
I'm so excited.
She was having having a hard time staying awake to study for algebra, and she was
not doing well.
And then Slater was like, well, I'm sorry, I feel really bad. And then she wound up taking caffeine pills, and then Slater found out about the caffeine pills, and
she was addicted.
And then it was an addiction issue, and then Zach like really wanted her to go do Hot Sunday. They had a video they had to do with the other girls.
Oh, right.
Wait, what's Hot Sunday?
On the trampolines.
Hot Sunday was the girl group that Zach made them create because he wanted...
Wait, was he a total scumbag?
Yes.
Oh. Well, I knew he was like a preppy douche, but I didn't know if he was also a scumbag. Wow,
a complete scumbag. There's a whole thing on like, I think it's Funny or Die that's called Zach Morris is Trash. And and they go through episodes explaining how much of a piece of shit he is. And yes, they're right. They're absolutely right. But I still love that show very much.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never stop loving that show.
Okay.
No matter how shitty he is.
But that is the most famous episode, easily, right?
By far. But I'm so excited. Because, like, she's passed out when he goes to her place. And he's like, oh, my God, Jessie, you have to get up. The Hot Sunday stuff. And she's like, oh, algebra? What? And then they have this whole, like, thing. And that's, like, the one moment where he's an actual, like, good friend to her. And he just holds her. And he's like, it's like, this isn't good. I'm worried about you.
Mm. I don't know why we're talking about this because
this
reading...
is an episode of Saved by the Bell is great. Let's talk about it.
Just because I got distracted because I was reading about mice and cheese. And so just a quick report out on that.
Is it true? Do they love cheese?
No, they don't. They don't like cheese. And I'm just reading here about an experiment where the mice are given the choice of peanuts, grapes, or cheese. They never pick the cheese. They usually pick the peanuts in general, sweet things, grains, cereals. That's what mice prefer.
Interesting.
Now, I don't know the history of this cheese thing. I'll come back with that next episode.
Cheese lobby.
Yeah.
Probably.
Dairy. Big dairy.
Big dairy.
That's a real thing. Okay.
So. What I'm hearing is that mice are like vegan.
A good choice for the environment. All right, let's actually we'll get to that.
Speaking
shortly
of the
about
environment,
why the rainforest is being deforested, but
right,
finish up. What happens in this episode, guys?
So they wind up figuring out what the cure was because they go back to the shaman and the shaman is like, oh, there's this very special plant that you can only find in the rainforest. Let's go check it out. And then like, oh, the rainforest is being destroyed by a bulldozer as they speak. And then, like, boop, no, it's okay. Here's the magical plant that we need. That's lucky. So they scoop it up. They head back. They create some sort of potion out of it. All they have to do is just smell. It's the vapors.
Yeah, it's almost like they make tea or something out of it, and the vapors.
And then
back
and they're
the
like, oh, they're fine again. Everything's okay. And then Captain Planet comes back, and he's like, oh, well, then let's just take this thing worldwide. We got to fix everybody. But then they need more of the plant. So they head back to the rainforest. He does. And then we find the guy who was with the bulldozer previously and a buddy. And they're both holding torches.
What?
And their plate, he's like, then Captain Planet's like, oh, look, acres of the plant that we need. Thank goodness. Then he sees the two guys and they're like, we have these torches. This will take care of the rainforest faster than my bulldozer. What?
No, it won't. I mean, we talked about this before, and we've talked about wildfires on this episode a little bit already. But it's a very serious concern in certain places and certain times of the year. Smokey the Bear is not kidding around. You know, be careful with forest fires. However, putting a torch to a lush green rainforest.
Right.
Unlikely.
Right.
To set it ablaze.
Like, just.
Instantly.
Just, it looked like they were just going to sort of hold it up to a leaf or two. And hope that just caught.
Just woof.
Like, woof. Just completely engulfs. So that annoyed me. Mm-hmm. But luckily, you know, he swooped in and was able to get all the plants that he needed, not near enough, based on the whatever. So whatever. It's a cartoon. So he grabs everything and he heads back. And then he puts it like, then he does makes a rain out of it.
He's got his own backpack of chemicals mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And he spins and creates sort of almost like the reverse of the acid rain cloud that Verminous Scum created. Mm-hmm. Except this one, because this substance is purple, he makes it, he creates a purple rain that heals the populace.
Did you love
whose
that?
Water supply has been affected. Mm. And, oh my God, I loved that.
And then why didn't the song immediately start playing in the background? Like, that should have been...
Yeah, it
should have
just been like, that's a real Captain Planet spinning around and just, never meant to cause you any sorrow.
I mean, most of you probably know that Andrew is a big Prince fan. And everyone knows because he tells everyone, but he didn't realize this about himself until Prince passed away, very sadly. And virtually everyone we've ever met sent him a text to check in on him that wow. day.
Well, and I...
And he was like, oh, I had no idea everyone knew I love Prince.
Yeah, just to clarify, I realized about myself long before he passed away that I was obsessed with Prince. I suppose I was unaware that I shared it as widely as I have.
Right. But then you found out in a real way. Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice.
Outpouring of support.
You have a lot of caring yeah. friends. That's a good thing.
Yes, it was very, very sweet.
Okay, so then there's the purple rain, and then it solves the crisis. But does it solve the real crisis of deforestation? No.
No, but this episode tries to.
Well, does it?
They at least are bringing awareness, which is the whole point. They're raising the issue, which is...
Yeah, because they gave this crazy statistic, which I need to check. I'm going to double check on this. But they said a football field a second of the Amazon rainforest was like being ripped down. A football field a second. That's a lot.
It's a lot. Well, here, let's do a quick guessing game. How big do you think the Amazon rainforest is, folks?
Oh, I don't want to play that game.
It's 2.7 million square miles.
What? Yes. Seriously?
It's huge. Good it God. Takes up a lot of... It takes up a significant portion of South America.
That's a bonkers amount of rainforest. I didn't know it was that big.
9 or 10 different countries in South America are part of the Amazon rainforest.
9 or 10?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I read 10, but I seem to have written 9 different ones here. So,
all right. So they were mentioning that one of the things that they were using it for was for cattle. Because like the guy who was bulldozing was like, this is what it's really for, cattle. Like, yeah. Is that true? Well, they were using it just to graze, like not even graze, but just
in the 90s, 70% of deforestation was to clear space for cattle ranches. Friends, yeah, I'm afraid that eating beef is part of the problem.
Whoa,
yeah.
Which, yeah, that ties into. I don't know if this,
but
is
like
what
wild
they were
boar
getting
is
at.
Okay.
It's natural. As a treat, meat as a treat. That's our personal effort.
Mm-hmm.
But the industry around like red meat creation,
right?
That's a significant contributor to climate change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cows are a significant contributor to methane production. Literally, cow gas contributes to a significant portion of greenhouse gas emissions.
Isn't it more than just that, though? It's also like the transportation that's involved when you have like
the whole package.
Yeah. So like it's not just the fact that there's an animal that you're clearing the. So it's everything combined. You're clearing a part of a rainforest to make way for a ranch. And then you have to create all the industry around that in that area. Then there's the shipping and transportation that goes along with it. And so I think all of those things combined.
Yes. And there's the trophic level issue. So like you have 10 pounds of grain that a human could eat, or you put 10 pounds of grain into a cow, which produces a pound of meat that a human can eat.
Right.
And so you're also, it's it's not the most efficient way.
Right.
I didn't know we were going to get into vegetarianism, but here we are.
It's around lunchtime.
Yeah. I also thought we were like making paper with that.
So did I.
With all of that wood, but it turns out, yep, 70% for that. Now, we have some
interesting
good news.
Enough, though. Oh, okay, so that in case in point, when they were talking about how to save the rainforest, they did not mention anything about meat or not eating meat or becoming vegetarian or any of that. All they talked about was reusing your paper and recycling. That's what they talked about. They didn't mention anything else, which should have, you know, so they're not really getting at the heart of the problem.
Yeah, I feel like this vegetarianism or veganism as an environmental issue maybe wasn't big in the 90s, but it's definitely part of the conversation in current environmentalism.
Yeah.
I would say that I know a lot of vegetarians who are vegetarian because of environmental impacts as opposed to necessarily, you know, any other. So yeah, maybe that is the case. But also you'd have to wonder if like, you know, the beef lobby wasn't too interested in hearing what Captain Planet had to say about
sweat for dinner,
you know, how their impacts
on the
environment.
When was Oprah in a fight with beef
wasn't
industry?
That the mid-90s?
I think it was later.
I don't know the story. What was
she said something about? Critical, something really not, was pretty tame and I think just honest about something related to the beef industry or maybe even just said that she like doesn't really like hamburgers. It was something really innocuous and they like went nuts and were...
Well, because there was an impact, I think, though, because Oprah said it.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then there was an impact to their sales and then they were like, now wait the fuck on, like, so, well, you know what, let's look it up before we start saying things, or we just go by our memories.
Right, because then we're gonna have a whole apology section.
Like, turns out Oprah didn't impact the sale of beef. Oprah red meat is what I'm Googling. Mm. So it was 96 for Oprah.
Oh, okay.
And it was the mad cow scare.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And it was...
I'm glad you looked it up. I really thought she just said something like, I don't like burgers.
Well, it was sort of like that. She was, she had somebody who was a cattle rancher turned vegetarian on her show to talk about the beef industry and the controversial practices, including a process now banned in the U.S. called rendering, which involves turning cow organs into feed for other cattle. While Winfrey challenged some of Lyman's more outlandish statements, which included the suggestion that disease could be as infectious as AIDS, Jesus, she explained at one point that his revelations had, quote, stopped me cold from eating another hamburger.
Oh, okay.
Beef prices plunged for nearly 2 weeks after the episode aired, eventually reaching a 10-year low. And in response, a group of angry cattle ranchers in Texas filed a $10.3 million lawsuit claiming she defamed the entire industry, and they lost. And then Oprah said in 1998, after she won, free speech not only lives, it rocks.
Yeah.
And then she says, I'm still love hamburgers.
That's funny.
And that's from Time. Top 10 Oprah controversies.
Oh, there's so more. Much to learn here. Now, this brings another fun infectious disease point, friends. What causes mad cow disease? Do you have a guess?
I just know that it's something with a brain.
Do you think it's a bacteria or a virus or
a pathogen?
Oh, I
thought it was a virus.
I would have guessed bacteria.
None of the above. First of all, no one knows, but the thing... It's
trickster.
It's a prion disease. What's a prion, you ask? It's a geneless, misfolded protein thought to cause the disease. There's also scrapie in sheep and Creutzfeldt-Jacobs disease. Anyways, they're extremely rare, but this little cluster of diseases thought to be caused by prions. Anyways, it's fascinating.
Prion sounds like something from Star Trek. Like we've encountered the prions in the Tartarus Nebula or something.
So
and they all have mad cow disease.
But then it's easily spreadable though. If it creates, like, just generates.
It's a little unclear, but eating, like, cows eating the other cow's brain is the transmission and route. And this is why you're advised not to eat brains of cows and sheep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yep.
Well, I feel like we've learned a lot today.
A lot of the more you know infectious disease episode. This was unexpected, but I'm pleased we got to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, good for us. We've covered a lot of ground today. After a long hiatus, I think this was an appropriate reentry.
Wait, but I have one important good news fact.
Oh, please.
Related to the Planeteer Alert, which is that we've made progress, actually, in this area of deforestation of the rainforest. My most up-to-date fact, which isn't too up-to-date, but alas. But from 2002 to 2006, the area, we've more than tripled the amount of conserved land in the Amazon rainforest, and deforestation was reduced by 60%.
Which is pretty significant.
That's very significant. So this seems to be an issue that we've made some good progress on.
Good.
So good news.
Well done, Planeteers.
Way to go, Planeteers. Captain Planet, he's our hero.
Purple rain.
All right. And on that note, we're going to go ahead and call an end to this episode of rewatching, reminiscing, and re-raising.
Yep.
Our episode 4 of Captain Planet, Scum Lord, join us for the next one. It'll come out sooner than you think, I hope. All right, bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.